Continue our study in the parables. And again, what is a parable? It is a what? Earthly story with a heavenly meaning. Earthly story with a heavenly meaning. And as we've been discussing over the last many weeks, what Christ would do, he'd take a very common story, something everyone could readily identify with, use that as a format to teach a truth that he was trying to hammer home. And this morning's subject should be something a lot of you pay close attention to. It's got to do with fishing. I've been fishing with some of you. We have some very good fishermen, how's the West way? Fishers in the church. That's not the right way to say. How should I say this? Men that like to fish. Thank you. And that are good at it. So this morning, that's the platform Christ is using to teach the truth of the time of separation that will come. So if you would open your Bibles to Matthew 13, let's begin in verse 47. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a dragnet. Okay, let's talk about this word for a minute as far as introduction. What is a dragnet? Okay, let's talk about, again, as a boy, I went fishing a lot, and we did not use what this word is. This is a very specific type of net. When I went fishing, you think of first a dip net. Okay, if you've got a live bait well in your boat or you got a minnow bucket, as we used to have, there was a little bitty net you would use to dip down in the water and get the minnow out with. That is a small dip net. A larger dip net would be when you are a catch a fish and you bring them beside the boat and use a net to dip them out of the water. So that's a dip net, right? That's not a drag net. The other type of net you think about is what some call a casting net. You see a lot of it on the coast. It's a net that you would put part of it in your teeth and hold it out and would throw it. And it would go down and come together, and you would drag up small bait fish, okay? So, Tim, is that called a casting net? What is that called? Close enough, casting net, okay. Still not what this is talking about. So what is a drag net? It's not a dip net. It's not a casting net. Pay very close attention. A drag net was a very large net. Had weights on the bottom and floats on the top. They would use this drag net in one or two ways. It would be a boat on one side and a boat on the other. They would start and they would make a circle and they would bring the net together. And so whatever was caught in the middle there would be used. Obviously, just dragging the net along the bottom of the lake or whatever body of water you're fishing in. So this is a drag net. Also could be used to put one end on the land and take the other end of the boat, and the boat would go out and circle around and bring the net back to shore. So that is the way this is being taken. So this is the type of net that this scripture is speaking of. And obviously, from the way that at the context of the passage, a lot of the fishermen use this type of net to catch large number of fish. So notice what it's saying. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a dragnet. The large net weights on the bottom, floats on the top, that they're going to use to really make a circle and bring all the fish in that circle within the net. So this is saying the kingdom of God is like the dragnet that was cast in the sea and gathered some of every kind. So I want you to picture exactly what Christ was picturing to the hearers of this parable. The kingdom of God is like this net. The net will be cast out and it will draw all kinds of people within the net. Now, how many of you have been fishing with this type of net before? Anyone? Two, three, four. Is that it? Five, six, seven. Okay. So seven of you clearly identify with this. I think anyone you talk to that's been fishing like this, you come up with all type of creatures within this net. It's not discriminate. You're not just simply bass fishing or whatever, catfish fishing. You are going after anything that falls into the net. So I want to keep that in mind as you think of the parable. So Christ is teaching this a very specific way of fishing. Earthly story, heavenly message. What is the message here? Well, verse 47 tells you, it was cast in the sea and gathered some of every kind into the net. So what I want you to think of, again, as we've been there straight through parables, there's one truth being focused on in each parable, at least one, but mainly one major truth in the parable. This is the truth here. There is a time of separation of all the creatures or fish that are caught into the net. And we're going to study this, but the thing I want you to focus on there is a time of separation. So when all these kind of fish and creatures are brought together with this dragnet, the one truth being taught here is there is a time of separation of the fish they would keep and the fish they would discard. The fish that were edible and good for you would be kept. The others would be cast away. a time of separation. Christ is using this method to teach there is a time of separation. So let's go to the Lord in prayer and ask Him to open our hearts to the truths of this passage. Father, we do thank You for Your Word. And Father, I ask You to illuminate our hearts to where we need to change to make our lives be in line with this passage. Lord, I beg of You that the reality of the time of separation will be before us this morning. We thank You that Christ taught in this way, where men and women could quickly identify with exactly what He was saying. So, Father, I beg of You in the context of this passage that we would be able to identify the truths of Your Word and would apply them to our lives. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, if you look on your outline that is on the back of your scripture reading, first, the preparation for separation. First, as I said here, there was a casting of the net. Obviously, you cannot, what, gather fish if the net's not cast out there. So first, it says in verse 47, again, the kingdom of heaven is like the dragnet that was cast into the sea. The net is out there. It's been put out there. And as you see this, at the end of verse 47, what is this? It's a gathering of every kind. So the gathering of the fish in the net is pulled together. I know as a young boy, we did this in the ocean one time, and you pull all kind of fish, and you get in there. There's some of these fish you don't even want to pick up. They are horrible looking. They have stingers and all kind of stuff coming out of them. You don't want to mess with them. So we know all kind of fish are gathered into this, and there comes a time when the net comes together, then you realize that this is a very effective way to gather everything in that path of the net together. Was it effective? Yes. Do you know what you're getting? No. You get all kinds of things. So you got to think of it like this. With the gathering of every kind, these people, as they were listening to Christ teach this, were well aware of the truth He was teaching. There's also another truth I want you to think about. As the fish were being caught, there was a sudden capture to this. If they saw the net coming, obviously, and I don't know the IQ of a fish. I don't think it's real high, but they saw a net coming, and they really knew what the net was about. What would they do? They would swim the other way. I'm not going to give the fish that much credit because I don't know. But what I'm trying to say is, as the fish are there, and they're swimming out doing their thing, the net comes, and they're gathered up, and all of a sudden, they're on the shore. So there's a sudden judgment. There's a sudden coming that comes with this, and some of these fish were good to eat, and some were not. Go to verse 48. Which, when it was full, the net was full, they drew to shore, they sat down and gathered the good into the vessels, but threw the bad away. So Christ, again, painting the picture, right, here's the dragnet is put out, the men are out there fishing, the net is gathered together, and now once the net is gathered together, there is a time of the separation of the two. There is a time in which the bad will be separated from the good. There's a time the edible will be separated from those that you cannot eat. So you got to understand, again, this is being very specific, a picture being painted. So what is the picture being painted? All right, listen carefully. All the kind of people in this auditorium this morning, different backgrounds, different cultures, male, female, different nationalities, are all here. But when you take everyone that is in the world, there are really only two types of people. Do you understand? There are those that, again, the scripture's using this picture. There are fish that will be kept and there are fish that are cast away. So regardless of wherever you are in the world, everyone falls into two categories. And what Christ is teaching here, and I want you to go ahead and put it in your mind now, that there are those who have trusted Christ as Savior. Later in the passage, we'll call those just, J-U-S-T, those that have been justified. And then there are those that are not. So regardless of how dark or light or background or male or female, that doesn't matter here. Regardless of that, all fall into one of two categories. So again, go back to what's being taught. Regardless of the creatures that this net brings in, crabs, fish, whatever, there's a time of separation. Well, they will be separated. Those will be kept and those that will be cast away. If you would look at the screen, if you would, with me. Acts chapter 20 puts it this way, starting in verse 25. And Acts 20 is laying out here a lot of the pastor's role, and this is part of it. Indeed, now I come to you among whom I have gone preaching the kingdom of God, will see my face no more. Verse 26, therefore I testify to you this day. Paul is saying, I am the innocent of the blood of all men. So what I'm saying is, all those that are gathered into the net, Paul is saying, I'm innocent of the blood. I have preached Jesus Christ to you all. Notice carefully. And I'll raise him up on the last day, for I have not shunned to declare to you the whole counsel of God. Verse 28, therefore, take heed to yourselves and to all the flock, among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers, to shepherd the church of God, which he has purchased with his own blood. For I know this, that after my departure, savage wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock. Also, from among yourselves, men will rise up, speaking perverse things to draw the disciples after themselves. Therefore, watch and remember that 3 years I did not cease to warn everyone night and day with tears. Now, here's the truth I'm trying to say from Acts 20. This morning, you're under the sound, hopefully, by God's grace, of sound doctrine. That a man is saved by grace, by placing his faith in Jesus Christ, understanding he's a sinner. There's nothing I can do good in myself to deserve salvation. But Jesus Christ came and died for me. Because of my sins, he died. He was buried, and he rose again the third day as he said he would. His sacrifice makes me right with God when I place my faith in him to save me. So now there's a point in time when everyone must either place their faith in Christ to be saved or reject it. What is being taught here in Acts 20 is, okay, you hear sound doctrine, but beware, there will be men coming in who will try to take you away from sound doctrine. Again, go back to the parable being taught. There is a great number being caught into the net. There is a separation that comes. The just will be kept into the vessel. The unjust will be cast out. But beware, there are those who would love to take you away from the truth of the doctrine of salvation by grace through faith. So as the net is being dragged and separation comes, before that separation comes, there's a decision to be made. Paul is warning. Folks, what I'm trying to tell you right now is the time of the gathering of the net has not happened. That's at the end of this age. But right now, as people are making and putting their faith in Christ, there are those who will rise up and draw you away from the truth of the doctrines of salvation by grace through faith. Has the separation happened yet? No, it hasn't. Take heed to who you listen to. The separation will come, and who you follow will determine which lot you're in. So read on with me. The preparation for the separation. Also, the explanation of the separation. Pick it up in verse 48. Which, when it was full, they drew to shore, and they sat down and gathered the good into the vessels, but threw the bad away. Verse 49, so when it will be at the end of the age, the angels will come forth, separate what? The wicked from who? The just. All right, so you got the preparation, but now the separation's here. The angels will be doing this. The just will be kept, and the wicked will be cast away. Verse 50. And cast them into furnaces of fire, and there will be wailing and gnashing of teeth. So please understand, again, all kinds of fish, but they all went into two categories. All people in the world, different backgrounds, different everything, but they all fall into two categories. It says here, either the wicked or the just. The wicked or the just. The good ones. Now notice carefully, how does someone become good? Well, a lot of people think if I'm good by what? Obeying the Ten Commandments, obeying my parents, doing what's right. Okay, that may make you good before man, does not make you just before God. Again, two categories, the wicked and the just. I went through the just, but let's understand one thing. The just here, those that have placed their faith in Jesus Christ at the time of separation, what's going to happen? The way I put it on your outline is this. The just will find comfort. Do we understand that at this very moment we have a member of our church whose father's dying? He went home from the hospital on Thursday or Friday. I can't remember. They sent him home, and very quickly, probably within the next few days, he's going to be with the Lord. Now, as a man by his own testimony that's put his faith in Christ, what can you tell that family? I can tell that family this. There's great comfort for those, the just ones, at the time of separation. Now, if you would, turn your outline over. A couple of verses to look at here. In Romans chapter 3, starting in verse 21, notice what it says. But now the righteousness of God, apart from the law, is revealed, being witnessed by the law and by the prophets, and the prophets, even the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ to all who what? Believe. For there's no difference, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Justified, this is our word, just. From whom God set forth the propitiation for our sins through faith to demonstrate His righteousness. Because of His forbearance, God has passed over the sins that were previously committed. Notice the next phrase. To demonstrate at this present time His righteousness, that He might be just. Who is He? Who is He? Tell me. It's Christ. That He, Christ, might be the justifier of what? The one who has faith in Christ Jesus. So please understand, one that has been justified, the just one, has been made the just one by the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. So the just, those that have placed their faith in Christ at the time of separation, folks, they will find comfort. Notice the next passage in the back of your outline, Revelation 7. I want to bring this in because when the great tribulation sets in at the end of time, there are those that will place their faith in Christ during this time. Notice the comfort this promised to them. It says in Revelation 7, starting in verse 13, then one of the elders answered, saying to me, who are these arrayed in white robes, and where did they come from? And I said to him, sir, you know. So he said to me, these are the ones who come out of the great tribulation and washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Therefore, they are before the throne of God and serve Him day and night in His temple, and He who sits on the throne will dwell with them. Notice the comfort in verse 16. They shall neither hunger anymore, nor thirst anymore. The sun shall not strike them, nor any heat. For the Lamb who is in the midst of the throne will shepherd them and lead them to living fountains of waters, and God will wipe away every tear from the eyes. Now, right now, for believers in this world, is there sickness? Yes. Is there suffering? Yes. Will there be hunger? Will there be famine? Will some believers die as martyrs? Yes. In this age. But after the time of separation, when the judgment of God comes, listen carefully, there is comfort for every believer. Heaven is a place where there is no more sorrow. You're with the Lord. There is no more tears. All that is done away with. So for the just, there is great comfort promised from the Word of God. Two people, two types of fish here, those that are kept and those that are cast away. So what about in contrast? We'll go back to verse 48. End of verse 48, it says this, but through the bad away, so it will be at the end of the age, the angels will come forth, separate the wicked from among the just, and cast them into the furnace of fire. There will be wailing and gnashing of teeth. And so, Pastor, that's just a warning that really won't happen. That's written there just to try to scare you into making certain decisions. No, it's not. Again, this is a parable, and this is what it's teaching. Folks, there is a time of separation coming. Very clearly, and to those that are just and have been justified through the blood of Christ, there's great comfort, and there's great promise. There's security in that position. But for those who have not, this is what's in store. There is a casting away. There is a place that is real, as we've covered in the past, called hell. Hell is a real place. That's what's being pictured here. There is a literal fire. This is Gehenna. This is a fire that never ceases. This is a place where there is torture. This is a place where there is a wailing and gnashing of teeth. See, it was very clear to those listening to this parable of how what the fishermen did with the fish. They would come in after the net's been dragged, and what would they do? They would keep some, and they would just throw the others away. The separation now was at hand. The question is, have you been justified, or have you not been justified? You know, one of the great things you hear today is identity theft. Well, it's not great. It's a great crime. Identity theft. Your identity has been stolen. Some of you in our congregation, that has happened to you. And others pretend to be something they're not. And they go and they make purchases on your credit card or whatever they do when your credit is stolen or your identity is stolen. Can I tell you this? When this time of separation, there is no identity theft. It can't happen. I bring to your mind these verses on the screen. Matthew 7, starting in verse 21, says this. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall what? Shall enter the kingdom of God, kingdom of heaven. But he who does the will of my Father in heaven, verse 22, and then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Separation, the just from the wicked. And some that are being separated, the wicked, they'll try to say, what are they going to say here? The Lord's going to say, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye who practice lawlessness. Verse 22. Many will say to me in that day, wait a minute, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name? Remember, the separation is here. The separation's happening. And they'll go back and say, wait a minute. Lord, have we not prophesied in your name? Have we not cast out demons in your name? Have we not done many wonders in your name? What does that tell you, those that focus on the casting out of demons and these miracles some of these faith healers say they do? Lord, Lord, did we not do this in your name? But yet they've never been justified through the blood of Christ. You can say, Lord, Lord, all you want to. But if you've never placed your faith in Jesus Christ to save you, and the time of separation comes, the parable is clearly teaching, you'll be cast away. But for those who have placed their faith in Christ, what will happen? Security, comfort, the love of God. But for those who have rejected the love of God, folks, there's no hope at this time. Now remember, that is in the future. The time of separation has not come. This is clearly teaching comfort for the just, condemnation for the unjust. And notice how he wraps this up. He goes immediately into another parable. The way I put it on your outline is this. So what is the application of this separation? If you would, pick it up in verse 51. And Jesus told them, have you understood these things? Now remember, we know from the past that many parables Christ would teach, and they would sit there like a bump on a log, not understanding. One thing he just told them. They had no clue. So what does he do? He comes and says, okay, the parable's finished. He comes, hey, have you understood what I just told you? And what was their answer? Yes, we have. Yes, Lord, we understood exactly what you just said. So what does he say then? Then he said to them, okay, therefore every scribe or teacher instructed concerning the kingdom of heaven is like a householder who brings out his treasure, things new and old. Now it came to pass when Jesus had finished these parables that he departed from there. Now go back to verse 51. The parable's told, Christ is finishing it up. He says, okay, guys, do you understand what I just told you? So in your outline, I put it this way, your understanding of separation. What he's saying is, hey, do you understand there is a time of separation coming? Do you understand that? So it's important. Christ asked them specifically, what about your understanding of this separation? They said, yes, Lord, we do understand it. We understand exactly what you're talking about. Can I ask you this? How do you gain spiritual understanding? Again, look at the screen. I'm pointing a lot of verses at you this morning. Listen carefully. Psalm 119, 18 says this. Open mine eyes that I may see what? Lord, open my spiritual eyes. I prayed in the beginning, Lord, illuminate my heart to the truths of your word. Now, please understand, God's word is complete. Revelation is complete. I don't pray, Lord, reveal new truth from me. No, it's finished. But what I pray is, Lord, illuminate my heart to the truth that's there. So he's saying, hey, did you understand what I just told you? Psalm 119, 18, open my eyes, that I may behold wondrous things from your law. Colossians 1, 9 says this, for this reason we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you. And what did they do? And ask that you may be, notice this is the prayer for the believers, that you may be filled with what? The knowledge of his will and all wisdom and what? What's the next two words? Spiritual understanding. So Christ said, hey, do you understand what I just taught you? Folks, if you're not understanding, understanding is directly related to the amount of time you spend in his word. Your spiritual knowledge, not talking about head knowledge, but the ability to apply the truths of God to my life to make me conform to the image of Christ is directly related with my spiritual understanding. So Christ says, hey guys, do you understand? Oh yeah, Lord, we understand. All right, so I got to ask you. The parable of separation. This is a simple parable. I could explain it in 5 minutes. It's very simple. The just from the wicked. The net's cast. They bring it in. All kind of creatures in here. Some are put in the boat that are kept. Others are cast away. There are people that have placed their faith in Christ. They're secure. They're in the boat. They may wander around in that boat. They may slip and slide, but they're not getting out of the boat. They're fine. They're secure in the boat. But these others over here are cast away. Simple truths. Question, do you understand the truths of what's just been taught? Has your heart been opened to the truths? Do you have spiritual understanding in how it applies to you? Christ asked them, do you understand? And what was the answer again? Yes, Lord, we do. I'm sure some did. And so what did he do? For those that understood, what did he say in verse 52? Then he said to them, okay, you understand. Therefore, because you understand, the word scribe is used in the New King James. I prefer the word teacher. Same word. I just prefer to translate here teacher. Here's why. He says, now, every teacher instructed concerning the kingdom of heaven is like a householder or the owner of the house. He brings out his treasure, things new and old. Again, the way I put on your outline to understand what he's saying is this. Do you understand? Yes, Lord, I understand. Okay, now that you understand, are you going to teach others the truths of this parable? What are others' understanding of this truth? Again, do we all agree that the parable of the dragnet is a very simple message? Can we all agree with that? Sure we can. Do you understand it? Okay, if you do understand it, what he's saying is, you're a teacher. This is treasure. This is a valuable lesson. You bring out things old, what you already know from Scripture, and new, what I'm teaching you right now. So you're a teacher. Will you go and tell others, yes, a Messiah is coming. You tell them the old message, but you also bring in the truths I'm teaching you right now. What he's saying is this. You understand it. Now go teach others this truth. We got all age people in the congregation. I'm just trying to hammer home a point. And you don't have to raise your hand. I don't want to embarrass you. But how many of you would say, I cannot leave here. I don't understand this parable enough to leave here and tell somebody what it was. Just think it through. I think most of you that have been paying attention and can read can say, yeah, okay. Christ said, do you understand? Yes, Lord, we understand. Okay, now, you're a teacher, you understand the truth. Now go tell somebody the truth of this parable. So what are others' understanding of this parable? Or can I put it this way? The time of separation is here. Are you now prepared to go and tell others that a time of separation is coming? Simple truth. How prepared are you now? After listening to this message for 30 minutes now, how prepared are you to take this truth? Christ taught it in a way all people that had ever been fishing or observed fishing could understand. He explained what it was. Picture the separation. Okay, now do you understand it? Yes, Lord, we do. Okay, now you're a teacher. The things you've learned before and the things you're learning right now, that's treasure. That's valuable. Now go and tell others. So are you prepared? Are you prepared for this moment? Are you prepared for the separation? Or would you be embarrassed because if you go home and your child comes up to you and says, Dad, could you tell me about this fishing thing? I didn't understand what Pastor Fant was saying. Could you explain it to me? And you can't explain it. Are you prepared to explain? Let's take it on human terms. When Dwight Eisenhower was president, it was recorded that he was on vacation in Denver. And he was on vacation there. He was told there was a little boy out there whose name was Paul Haley. And this little boy's desire was to meet President Eisenhower, if he could. This little boy had an incurable disease. And he said, they got word to the president, if he just could meet President Eisenhower, it would elate him. So President Eisenhower was on vacation. Got up Sunday morning. His aide told him, this little Paul Haley would love to meet you. He said, let's go. Unannounced. Think about that. Unannounced. The account says this. A black limousine drives up to the Haley's home. Flags on the front of the limousine, of course, the U.S. flags. Doors open. Eisenhower himself goes and knocks on the Haley's front door on Sunday morning. Here's his words. The dads whose, what was his dad's name? I've forgotten his name here. Donald. Came out to President Eisenhower sitting on the steps, okay, standing there knocking on the door. His question was, yes, can I help you? Okay. The President of the United States introduces himself to you as the father of this little boy who had made the request to see President Eisenhower before he died. President Eisenhower is there. The father's at the door. This is President Eisenhower's response. He says, is Paul here? Tell him the president would like to see him. Now imagine if you're Paul Haley. Are you prepared to meet the president? He comes in, comes up. The president takes him, tells him who he is, takes him out to his limousine, shows him the presidential limousine, takes him back in the house, gives him a hug, tells him goodbye. So the neighbors come. I mean, you got to admit, now, if a black limo with presidential flags and the U.S. flag pulls up in your car, Sam, what kind of response are you going to get? Yeah, you're going to be shot. What in the world's going on at the Haley house? And they come up. Donald Haley, the father, was not prepared to meet the president. He was dressed in nothing wrong with blue jeans. I love blue jeans. But he's dressed in old blue jeans, a dirty shirt, and had not shaved for 2 days. So they're asking the dad, what was it like? And the only thing he could say was, I was not prepared to meet the president. Now, folks, that's just another little earthly story. But put it in spiritual terms. Go back to our parable. Christ says, the net is cast. All kinds are gathered. The separation is coming. The good are cast in the boat. Those that are not good are cast away into a place, into a furnace where there's wailing and gnashing of teeth. And then he said, guys, do you understand this? And they said, we understand. And if you understand, then be a teacher and tell others. There's not a simpler message I ever can preach from Harvest Baptist Church's pulpit. The question is, are you prepared for the separation? Heaven is a real place of great comfort great assurance, the presence of Christ. We'll worship Christ there in the holiness of God forever and ever and ever. There will be singing. Even us that can't sing will be singing in a great majestic voice. It will be a wonderful time. All the saints will be gathered together in heaven worshiping their Savior. Wonderful comfort. On the other side, there's a place for those who reject the sacrifice of Christ. Their choice, reject your choice, hell is your final place. And it never ends. Just like in heaven, there's always ongoing worshiping of a wonderful Savior. In hell, there's ongoing torment day after day, night after night, never ceases. It's called a lake of fire. The judgment's called the Great White Throne Judgment. Do I think that place is real? Yes. Am I going to stand up here and get in your face and hoot and holler and tell you you're going to hell? No need for that. The Word of God's already said that. That you understand that when you reject the love of Christ, it says very clearly there will be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Hell is a real place. I'm declaring to you right now in the kindest way that I know how, you don't want to go there. Why? Forever separated from the love of Christ. Forever separated from God Himself. The separation is coming. Are you prepared for it?